The Buck Sexton Show.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.
Team, we are joined now by our guest and a friend of the show, Madison Jezziotto. She's a columnist for the Washington Times. She has a personal story about what it's like to be on campus and be a conservative these days that she's going to share with us. Madison, thank you so much for calling in, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Buck. I'm glad to be back with you today.
So I haven't had a chance yet to talk to the members of Team Buck about exactly what's going on here at all. So you're going to have to take us to the beginning with this piece that you wrote for the Washington Times, where you're a columnist, the number one killer of Black Americans. Walk us through a little bit of the piece and then the reaction and the current controversy.
Absolutely. So just over a month ago, I wrote a column, the number one killer of Black Americans. And of course, that is abortion. This is something that is not new. It's been spoken about by leaders all across the world for many years. Pope Francis recently obviously reaffirmed abortion as the taking of a human life, and especially Ohio leaders have spoken a lot about this. And Ohio leaders from the Black community are former Ohio Secretary of State Kenneth Blackwell, and also outside of that, 2016 presidential candidate Dr. Ben Carson. Very simple, short piece. My statistics came straight from the CDC, showing that Black women are having abortions at very high rates, and you know, I'm trying with this piece to bring social awareness to a very important issue in today's society. But of course, as a second-year law student at Ohio State, I received the complete opposite response as what I should have received for this piece. The name-calling and bullying, of course, immediately started within the students. Shortly after that, one student crossed the line and posted a very ambiguous threat on my Facebook page saying, "The government may not be able to take action against me, but they can take action against me." Now, of course, I did not know this student. I didn't know what type of action that she and these other students planned to take. All I wanted for the university to do was to take 5 short minutes to investigate this threat and make sure that this was not a physical action. So I made an appointment immediately to go down to the dean's office. I called. They said I could come in immediately. 15 minutes later, I get there. Instead of just the dean that I
scheduled. Wait, Madison, wait. Slow down for one second. So everyone's up to speed. So you write this piece. You write this column about.
Yes.
The number one killer of Black Americans, which you state in the piece, is abortion. And as you've said, this is an argument that other people have made, or this is rather a point that other people have made, that there's a disproportionate impact on the Black community from abortions. Okay, so you write this piece, you have student outcry, which that I think a lot of people would expect on the modern campus, but then you have somebody with an ambiguous threat. Now you're concerned for your safety as a student at Ohio State University. Now you go to meet with the deans, who at these schools are generally very concerned with safe spaces for people and safety on campus and a safe environment on campus. And okay, what do the deans say to you, Madison?
So instead of taking my threat seriously, they immediately spend 1 hour. And now keep in mind, like I said, I scheduled a meeting with one dean. 10 minutes later when I got there, there were 3 deans waiting for me. They had my article in front of them. They clearly had been preparing for this for a lot longer than those 10 minutes. They attacked my piece for about an hour, continually expressing how my faith-based beliefs on abortion and how this article could harm my legal career, could harm my ability to write as a staff editor for the Ohio State Journal of Criminal Law. They claimed that maybe because everybody doesn't know what a staff editor is, that I should remove that from my biography, which is the most absurd argument that I've ever heard. On top of that, they just continued to badger me, saying that this was a horrible article. It wasn't a good journalistic piece. It wasn't a good legal piece. And I never requested their advice on my writing for work, which, of course, is not at all associated with the university or any of my classes or professors there. So it was completely unwarranted and inappropriate on their part.
So you had 3 deans. So you sit down with the deans of your university, or 3 deans from your university. You have a safety concern, and they take this as an opportunity not to address that and not even to reaffirm your First Amendment rights to write a column that discusses this issue, but they pull it apart and also tell you, oh, by the way, you should change what's on your resume. That's what went down.
Yeah. Well, they specifically refer to my biography on the Washington Times website, and that's what they were referring to, kind of just encouraging me to take off my association with the school. And I said, you know, we're not saying you can't be a student here. We just, you know, want to make sure everybody understands. It was absolutely inappropriate. On top of that, they claimed that this article looks to be a piece directly attacking Black Lives Matter. And that is obviously not at all what the piece was. If you read the piece, that wasn't even referenced in the column. So it's been over a month now. The threat has not been looked into. I've never heard back from the dean that I scheduled the meeting with. And when I did send a follow-up two emails to these deans, the first one was with copies of the threat and all of the information they requested. The second one was saying, hey, like, you know, my anxieties continue to rise. I haven't heard back from you. What's going on? I received an email back from one of the other deans that I did not schedule a meeting with saying, and she, by the way, is the advisor of the Black Law Students Association at my law school. She says she's talked to the members of the Black Law Students Association and to people like that were involved in commenting online, and she doesn't feel there's a threat for my safety. Now, let's keep in mind the threat I reported was from a white woman at the law school who is not a member of the Black Law Students Association.
Right. So they've done nothing. They've ignored all. They've ignored all this for in terms of your safety and that concern. But how have other students on campus? Have you had any further issues with students sort of trying to ostracize you or criticize you or threaten you, or has it died down a bit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if anything, it's continued to escalate. And, you know, instead of arguing on merits of this column, these students are continuing to attempt to delegitimize me by branding me as a racist and a bigot. And obviously that's just not the case. We live in a country where facts on campuses have become less important than feelings. And these illiberal leftist students are hunting down defenders of their views. They're attempting to silence them. And they're attempting to use these students that they silence as examples in order to silence others. And, you know, I'm just not going to be silenced. This is a very important issue, and I'm not going to back down because of these students bullying me and these administrators bullying me.
Now, do you have a piece where you make your case about all this in the Washington Times, or are you planning to write one?
Yeah, so I actually just last week on Wednesday released my follow-up column called Standing Up for the First Amendment, where I'm talking about, you know, who I am as a person, why this issue is important to me, and just how inappropriate their actions were. And obviously other news outlets have written about this as well, and what happened.
Yes, the Drudge Report right before the holiday, the Drudge Report, I think, linked your column, or at least linked a reference to your column.
Yes, they linked the article written in the Washington Times referencing what happened, written by Valerie Richardson. On top of that, I've been very grateful to receive a ton of support from people who have read my column as well as the follow-up article on all ends of the political spectrum, reaching out and saying, you know, some people even said, I don't agree with you on anything politically. However, I do respect your right to be able to write your column and, you know, not have to worry about this type of treatment from your university. And some people were just disgusted by what happened and how I was treated.
All right. Well, Madison, we'll direct people to go read your latest at the Washington Times. Madison Jesiotto, always good to talk to you. Thank you for giving us a ring today, and keep in touch with us on this issue. Let us know how it continues on, or if it's resolved, or anything that happens.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing me on.
All right, Madison. Talk soon.
This podcast brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Did you miss the chance to get a 72-hour emergency food supply with free shipping for just $10? What's wrong with you? Don't worry. Call 888-411-7440 right now. They have a few left, and they're selling out fast. 888-411-7440. What are you waiting for? A disaster? Do it right now. 888-411-7440.